All right, if you could this morning, turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. I love it when the messages kind of fit together a little bit. Brother Grissom, if you're here in Sunday school, is teaching on how not to backslide, and this morning I'm preaching on how to backslide. No, just kidding. I don't have as much experience. I took the easier route. But no, seriously, they, as you'll see in a little bit, they do go together. But turn to, as I mentioned, Mark chapter 12, and we'll be beginning reading in verse 28. And we'll be going to Revelation 2 in just a minute as well. Mark 12, 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for a chance to be here this morning, as mentioned previously. I do pray, Lord, that you'd speak to your people here this morning. Deal with our hearts. Lord, there's revival coming up here in just a few days. Help our hearts be prepared to hear what you'd have, that we might be revived, Father, and that you might do a work in our lives. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, there's two great commandments there. And there's not probably a person in this room who doesn't know those two, have heard those two commandments, and probably can quote them. And if you take a step back and look, all the laws in all the world really revolve around those two, primarily the second one, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. When you think about it, you don't steal because, you know, you love your neighbor, that sort of thing. But all of man's laws, and written in our conscience as well, revolve around those two. And what I want to preach on this morning, though, is just the first one. Just the first one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind and all thy strength. Just that one. It won't be short, but just one point. No. But anyway, and the reason is this. If we get that right, if we get that right in our lives, everything else will fall into place. Everything else will fall into place. But the humanistic approach is to love the neighbor. Feed the hungry, care for the environment, all this sort of thing, and forget all about God. And see, the whole world is concentrating. If they're moral-type people, they'll worry about the second one a little bit. And never think of the first one at all. So we as Christians, I want us to base here this morning and just ponder these a few thoughts here. Hopefully it's something that will help you prepare your heart, my heart, for revival coming up. And you'll see a few different things I'll point out to you. But thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and all thy strength. And if you really love God, like I say, everything else will fall into place. If every Christian loved God, the world would be a better place. If every father and every mother loved the Lord thy God with all their heart and soul and mind and strength, the families would be different. If every son or daughter were to do that, and so I love God. I love God. Do you? Do you love God? We'll see. Do you love God? Do you love Him with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind? If everyone in this church, if everyone in the body of Christ loved God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, Christianity would be doing something great for God. Christianity would be an amazing thing and have the power far more exceeding even than what was happening during the Great Awakening in the 1700s and early 1800s in this country and other times throughout the world. If everyone would love the Lord, the God, like they need to, He would get the glory and He would get the honor that's rightfully His. Our troubles in life would drift away. But how do we do this? How can we improve? If we're honest with ourselves, none of us meet these expectations. We don't. We've got a revival coming up here in a few days. What does it mean to revive? It means to make awake, to bring the life. If something is revived that once was dead, and we're not all dead here, but if we're honest with ourselves, we can search our hearts, there's parts in our lives, as mentioned by Brother Grissom taught this morning, there's things in our lives that we used to do, we don't do anymore. There's things that were sweet to our ears, and we loved hearing them, and we'd pay attention, and they'd sink in our hearts, and we'd act on them. In some areas, we don't anymore. So if we're honest with ourselves, there's areas in our lives, each one of us in here, that are dead or on their way to dying. And when they need reviving, all right? So we're going to preach on that a little bit this morning. And Christianity is in a downward trend. And it's a constant momentum. There's a constant momentum pulling against us. And it's a battle. But the battle is worthy. Let's turn back to Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Revelation chapter 2. I'm sorry, not 1. Revelation chapter 2. He's talking to the church at Ephesus. And I know technically we are in the Laodicean church age. But there's some real similarities in what he's talking about here. And I believe what is applicable to us today, right now. It says, I know thy works, verse 2, and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Remember, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. What I want, and you know, I got looking at that, reading that a little bit. You know, there's a lot of things in there. Verse 2. And it says, thou cannot bear them that are evil. If we look at us as Bible-believing Christians, there's a lot of good things that people are doing. We rightly divide the word of truth. We can look at things and say, that's evil, and I don't want to go down that path, right? Just like the church of Ephesus. We have tried them which are apostles and are not. There's nobody here this morning trying to stand up and talk in tongues, right? We found them to be liars. Thou hast borne and hast patience, and for thy name's sake hast labored. There, over the last many years, dozens of years, there's many people that have done a lot. There's many of you people doing a lot for the Lord. The prison ministry, nursing home ministry, and door-to-door visitation, and prayer meeting. There's a lot of people doing a lot of things. But, nevertheless, the Lord says, I have someone against thee. Now, if you're honest with yourself, the Lord Jesus Christ were to stand here right now this morning, and he knew the thoughts and intents of all our hearts, as he did, you know, through the Gospels, what would he find? What would he find this morning? He says, yeah, you've done a lot. Boy, you did a lot. You got a lot of tracts out. You're faithful in church. You're faithful in reading. You're faithful in this. You're faithful in that. You're doing good. But I have someone against thee. Is that what he'd say? I'll just be real plain. He would say that probably to every single person in this room in some area of our life. And he would. There's no doubt. Many, many, many areas, maybe some areas, whatever it is. But you know what? When I get to heaven, the Lord should come back in 5 minutes or 5 years or 50 years, whatever the case may be, or I die. You know what? I would love him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know what I don't want to hear him say? He says, Dave, you did good. You did good, but I have someone against thee. I don't want to hear that. Do you? You see, it's just not a game we're doing here. It's just not a church thing. Just not turning over a new leaf. There's serious issues, and what we're dealing with on a daily basis in our lives has an effect on all eternity. See, you can't just kind of backslide a little bit, as Brother Grissom was teaching on this morning, if you're here, and just backslide a little bit and not affect, oh, it's just going to affect me because I just don't feel like coming to church. I just don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like doing this. I've done it before, and I'm tired of it. I'm weary. Why doesn't somebody else do more? And you just kick back, and you think it's only affecting you. It doesn't. It's affecting those around you. It's a discouragement. It's a discouragement and a poor example to your family. To those of you who have been trying to witness to other people and used to decide to kind of go down that path, all they can say is that, it was only a phase. It was only a phase he was going through. She was going through. That's all it was. This religion thing is nothing. Didn't mean anything to him. He only stuck with it for a few years and he's done. You don't want that. You don't want that, people. I don't want that. But if we can, as I mentioned before, we want to just go over a few things here. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart with all thy soul, with all thy mind, all thy strength. So, let's start with the first one. So, love the Lord with all our heart. What is the heart? It's the innermost part of your being, the deepest thoughts and emotions and affections. The innermost part of, it's what's nearest and dearest to our hearts, right? That's what our heart is. We have the heart and we have the mind. And mind is more, we'll get into that later, but there's kind of things that bounce around up there all the time and our thoughts and that sort of thing. But our heart is what really means something to us. We're to take and love the Lord our God with all our heart. That's the first part of the first commandment, right? And so I was trying to draw some parallels with it and turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. It says, how can we draw some parallels with loving the Lord our God with all our heart, with loving somebody like that? It says, husbands, Ephesians 5:25, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that should be holy and without blemish. So what I want to draw some parallels to is basically the husband-wife relationship that we see in front of us all the time, or maybe you're in the midst of that, and how we love one another, or even it can be somebody just a dear friend or that sort of thing, and how that relates to us loving God. What are some similarities here? Now, first off, again, we want to avoid hearing, nevertheless, I have someone against thee, right? So how can we love God more? How can we love Him with all our heart? Let's just take a step back for some of you all. And how does a relationship start? How does a relationship start? Maybe you're, different people have different ideas about when you can start courting or dating. So I'll just be real safe. Let's say you're about 25 years old. And hopefully make everybody happy except the people under 25. But, and you meet somebody and they're kind of handsome or funny or witty or fun to be with. There's certain qualities that you find in them, and you want to spend some more time with them, right? There's something about them you like. And I relate that back to, was mentioned earlier too, is when you first got saved. What was it like, right? Didn't you find a friend that sticketh closer than a brother? Didn't you find a Savior that will never leave you or forsake you? Do you remember that? Do you remember the first time in your life of laying in your pillow at night and sometimes you used to think about death or the first funeral you went to as a saved person? And it's like, wow, I don't have to worry anymore. I'm going to heaven. I'll never forget the first funeral I went to. That it was a funeral that was saved. One of the brothers in church here was killed tragically in a car accident. He was about 40. This was a long time ago, in 89, I think it was. And the widow was sorrowing. Yes, the kids were tearful, but underlying that, there was a joy that I had never in my life seen. I just walked away through thinking, wow, that's different. There's not some man in a robe with incense chanting where Jesus Christ is never mentioned once. No. It was some joy there. I thought, this is different. This is amazing. Do you remember that, though? Do you remember some of the sweet things that you found out when you first saved? I remember first hearing, I never knew anything about the rapture. There wasn't any left behind books. I couldn't even go to the secular area and find anything about the rapture. I remember first hearing about the rapture and thinking, wow, that's something, right? I mean, I was just happy to be saved. I was just happy to have some peace and some joy in my life. And then I keep coming to church and it seemed like every week there was something new. It's like, wow, there's a rapture? And like that, we're going to be gone? Hopefully in 1989? Well, I missed the first one, so it must be mid-trib now. I don't know. So it's 70 years, not seven. But anyway, finding out about that, I thought, the millennium? I mean, I saw those Watchtower magazines, sometimes. Well, that's kind of weird, but those guys are weird too, So, but I thought, well, the millennium? Wow, that's something. A new heavens, a new earth? I'll never be able to lose this, what I have? I don't have to work for it? Wow, it was an amazing thing. And you know what? That's like a young people, they first meet, it's like, he's so nice, and she's so nice, and all that sort of thing. You know what? I'm making fun of that part, but you know what? That's the way I ought to be always with our Savior. There ought to be that newness in our heart, a newness in our heart, and we never forget the blessing of salvation, the simplicity of it, right? Next is a young couple. They'll enjoy spending time together, talking. They desire to spend more and more time together. And I remember when I first got saved, I was working nights, and so I could read my Bible at work, you know, because I worked in the computer room, and once things were running good, you just sat there and watched the screen or read your Bible or whatever. So I'd read. And I'd get home in the morning, and I'd read some more. And I'd get up and read. There was times I'd read. I went through my Bible once in like 3 months, I think. 3 months and 20 days or some crazy thing. You know, it was a blessing. And, man, that was nice. That was nice. But, you know, I enjoyed spending time with him. I enjoyed fellowship. I remember the first time coming back from a church gathering, I thought, this is great. And my wife's not driving. I'm in my right mind. I had a good time. This is great, right? I enjoyed the fellowship of other Christians. And you know what? He says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, it's one thing for us, you think, well, it's neat that we desire, it's good for us to desire fellowship with Him. I mean, who wouldn't want to really have fellowship with the holy God that loved us and gave His life for us, that commandeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, He died for us. But why? Why does He want fellowship with us? That's the amazing thing. But yeah, He does, people. He does. You know, then you'll start, a young couple gets kind of involved a little more. Maybe they're engaged and that sort of thing. And they start telling other people, oh, we're engaged in my fiance, you know, and it's a kind of a proud thing. And like you start telling people about Jesus Christ. Do you still? Do you still tell them about your Savior? Do you still tell them? Does He still mean something to you? I remember when Julie and I knew each other for not too long, and I was going out to Wyoming skiing. And I went over to her house, and she made me a little batch of cookies. Why, a way to a man's heart is through his stomach, girls. And she made a little batch of cookies, and I took them with, and we were riding in the van out there. You guys want some cookies? My girlfriend made these, you know. But I wasn't 25, I was pretty close to it. But, you know, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that. But, you know, do we enjoy telling others about our Savior? Do we enjoy telling others about what Jesus Christ has done for us in our lives? Do we do that? The prayer time, the reading, how are we doing with all that? It's the basics. That's what revolves around. Do we enjoy sitting down and reading our Bible? Do we enjoy praying? And everyone struggles with it. You know why you struggle? Because it's a spiritual battle. Because the devil hates it. The devil hates it. But we need to persevere beyond that. All right, another thing. What is the next step in a relationship? Well, you start learning more about the other person, right? You start learning more about that young lady or young man, and you want to because you love them. You want to try learning a little more about them. Here's a little hint, guys. If you take her out to a Chinese buffet and she eats, all she ever eats is chicken wings, she probably doesn't like Chinese food. So, and the other thing is, don't take her out to buffet the first couple of dates because it sends a bad message, you know. But take her to a place where a menu you can hold in your hand that you don't have to look at, like the White Castle, but, you know, something you can hold in your hand might be a good tip. Doesn't have to be white tablecloth. A menu is that's a big plus there, big plus. So, but what was I getting at with that? You find out what they like and what they don't like, right? And there are some things, you know, my hair was longer when we first met, and I had some, that sounds so weird, some velour pants. Why would I wear velour pants? I don't know. I had those. Well, those went, and yeah. So you find out what you like and what you don't like. But how about us in our Christianity? Do we know what God likes and what He doesn't like? Do we know what He hates? Do you? Do you really know what He loves? You know, if we take a look at ourselves, we can say, oh, look out at Christianity, and boy, they must not know what God hates when He loves, because boy, it sure is in a mess, and they got rock music in the churches and everything else. But back to ourselves. That's no surprise. Back to ourselves. There's three options here. If Jesus Christ were to come here this morning and look at our thoughts and examine our hearts, there's only three conclusions. Either we're rebellious, or we're ignorant of what He loves and what He hates, or He likes and dislikes, or we don't love Him. We don't love Him with all our heart. Really, only three possibilities here, people. You're either ignorant, or you're rebellious, or you don't care about your love. That's it. You know, if you're in a relationship for a long time and you don't even know something simple about that special someone in your life, you're just ignorant. You need to learn that out. Learn it and act on it, right? So that's the other thing is you know, learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we learn about him, are we going to obey it? You know, if you really, you know what he likes. It's not subject to debate. All the things that people debate in Christianity, it's because they're rebellious. Stop riding the fence. Stop riding the fence about music and modesty, all these different things. Just stop riding the fence. Take a step on the other side and stay over there. Stop debating it. Stop arguing it. Just go the extra mile for God. The next thing is, in a relationship, is there'll be a thankfulness between you. You're thankful for what they do to you. If somebody on the street just does something for you, it doesn't mean much. But someone you love does something for you, obviously it has more meaning. And, you know, that's, you know, true with a husband-wife relationship or any type of friendship at all. And there's a thankfulness that builds there. And what about our thankfulness toward God? Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. What about our thankfulness toward God? How's that doing? I got to tell you a little story here. And last week, I think it was. Yeah, no, it was the week before. Sometime fairly recent. I think it was a week and a half ago now. Anyway, I was having a bad morning. And I was just disgruntled about a lot of things and work and everything. And so I took off. My nephew was already up in Elk River working. And so I had to go get some siding down in Rogers. So I go all the way up towards Elk River, go down to Rogers. I get to down to Rogers, which is about 12 miles south Elk River. I go in and I look at the siding, and the siding says Heritage Oak. I figure that's the color. No. It's not the color. It's the style of siding. So I don't have the color in front of me. So I go up to Dryville. It's only 25 miles on my way in an hour or so. Go up to Elk River, get the little piece of siding. I should have been in my truck all along. Go back down to the siding place. I'm driving down there, more disgruntled, and I realize I don't have my cell phone. I figure it was on my lap. I bet I get out of the truck, and I probably just drove right over it and crushed my brand new cell phone. So I'm driving just more disgruntled. I get down there, and I thought I had a question for Brian. I had to call him about some other thing on the job. I think, my phone. Can I use your phone? What's his number? I just pushed 7. What's his number? I says, forget it. I'm just like, oh, Lord, help me. So I go around back to pick up the siding, and there's another guy backed up. He's dropping some siding off, returning it, and we're talking a little bit. And I'm getting ready to leave, and he says, well, God bless you. I turn around and look. I says, are you a Christian? And he says, yeah. And he's a Puerto Rican guy, and we were talking a little bit. And he says, I got saved a year ago, he said. And he says, I was in the drugs and alcohol really, really bad. My family was a mess. And he says, I told God, he says, if he'd save me from that, he says, I would live for him forever and never stop telling people about Jesus Christ. See, so here I am. And he says, you are a blessing, brother. And I told him briefly about my morning. I says, God didn't have to put you here, but he did. Why? Because he loves me. Why? Why? You know, why? He doesn't have to. We talked a little bit, and I encouraged him. I said, it's only been a year. I said, stick with it. It's worth it. Just go. Just stick with it. And I got down the road a little bit, and I just pulled the truck over. Just had a little time low and lower. Because you know what? I did not deserve that. I did not deserve that act of love and goodness from God. The little handful of purpose along the way. You know that? And as we go through our life, we could look at things, and boy, God gives us a lot of handfuls of purpose. But the devil wants us to dwell on it. It's just, well, this happened. And that happened, and this happened. No. He gives us a lot of good things along the way. If we just take a step back and realize these things and not be cold or hard or bitter about things. But back to thankfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And this was Tuesday this week, and I was just praying about... No, it's Thursday, I'm sorry. I'm so old now, I don't even remember my days. All right, and everything give thanks. So it's Thursday afternoon. I was getting ready to go to prison and winding up 1 Thessalonians there and just praying. And then the phone rings, and then Brian told me he got laid off. I was like, oh. And it says, and everything. And I get up to the desk and start looking through. And the very first verse to study to the, and expound to the prisoners was, and everything, give thanks. And I says, wow, and everything, give thanks. You know, just a job, but still. And I thought, well, why don't we give thanks like we should? You know, I mean, it's easy to give thanks when things are going well, right? And but yet, when things aren't going so well, and something, it might be a very tragic thing, I mean, a death in the family or whatever it might be, we need to give thanks. The Bible says, and everything, give thanks. How do we do that? How do we do that? Or why don't we do that? One reason is we don't do that is we don't really trust God. See, we're here, and as long as things are going good, then, you know, me and the Lord got all figured out. We like the way things are going now. I like this life I have now. It's going pretty good. It's a little bumps in the road, but it's okay. But also, when some tragedy comes or some disheartening thing, it might not even be a big thing, but still it gets a hold of us and wraps itself around us, and it's hard for us to take a step back and give thanks for that. Why? Because we don't really trust God. See, if we trusted Him, we'd just say, okay, Lord, I trust You. I give you thanks for it, right? But see, we don't really trust God. We don't trust God all the way. Or we believe that, just deep down maybe, we believe He really doesn't have our best interests at heart. He's kind of out to get us. No, He's not. You might have to reap for some sins in the past. That is true. But He's not out to get you. He's out to refine you and build you up. And just like that brother was this spring, that was a great set of messages there. Taking that piece of clay, that lump of clay, and just keep molding it. You know what? Sometimes things mess up and He's got to just start all over and just start building it up again. And building it up. Why? So you and I can be a vessel fit for the Master's use. That's why a lot of times we're not thankful like we should be. And believe me, I'm the first man, I have a big problem with this one. You know that? I like things going pretty well. And sometimes they don't, and I'm not thankful like I should be. And these are some of the reasons why. We have a better idea. We think, if it would have gone this way, I think it would have been better. Maybe. Maybe it would have been short term. But God's not looking at short term. You know, it's like putting a little writing on that blackboard and getting down low next to it, and you can't see a thing. You can't see what's written on that whiteboard there. Blackboard, see how old I am? And that whiteboard. But you stand back like this, you can see it, right? And that's like us. We're just down, we're looking through life, and we just see the little bit right in front of us here, and that's all we see. And God's looking at the whole picture and saying, you know what? This is going to be painful for you right now. This is going to be hard for you. And but you'll come through better. You'll come through better because of it. And we need to be thankful for that. And sometimes just a matter, we're not thankful because we're just downright selfish, right? Kind of ties in with all the rest of it, but we like things the way we were. And it would have been better if God, He could have done this instead of this. At least I'd be a whole lot happier right now. Wouldn't be sitting in the emergency room right now, Lord. If You would have done it differently, I wouldn't be sitting by a graveside right now, God. But I am. We're selfish. And we're not looking at it in light of eternity. The Bible says, and everything, give thanks. That's high ground. You know, you read some of Paul's writings. Wow, this whole last close of the chapter, you know, abstain from, you know, rejoice evermore. That kind of ties in with that. Man, that's high ground. But that's our goal. If we love the Lord our God with all our heart, that ought to be our goal, is to have a thankful spirit. Have a thankful spirit. All right, another thing in a relationship is that you realize you grow in love one for another as husband and wife. You'll realize, if you're honest with yourself, that, and you know yourself better than they know you, you'll realize that you really don't deserve that person. That, you know, you're kind of out of your league here, if you're honest with yourself. At least you hopefully think that. Because you know what? If you go through your marriage and go through a relationship like that, and you think, wow, what guy wouldn't want me, or what woman wouldn't want me? Oh, you got some problems, buddy. You got some real problems. You better approach this thing with a humble attitude and think, Lord, thank You. Because I don't deserve that person's love. And you know what? Far more than that, as we don't deserve our Savior's love. For God commendeth His love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were sinners. We were taking His name in vain. And if we didn't at that time, at a little 6 or 7 year old age, if we lived our course of sin, we would have. And I look back in my life, there's all sorts of things that God circumvented my, just changed my path and tweaked my path I could have got into, but by His grace, He didn't allow me to. Why? He loved me before I first loved Him. And He died for me? Not only did He do that, but He knew everything about me? That's amazing. That's amazing, people. That's amazing. And we got to ponder, we got to think about that when our relationship with God is, we got to realize we do not deserve it. And if we go through our relationship with God and think, well, you know, why wouldn't God want to bless me? That's a bad position. That's a bad position. I have somebody I know, and I tell him something that happened. He goes, well, you sure got lucky. I says, it's not luck. God bless me. Oh, you just think you deserve God's blessing? I says, no, I don't deserve God's blessing. That's why it's called a blessing and not, you know, I'm collecting a check here or something. I mean, it's a blessing. It's something you don't deserve. And He does it for us out of love. That's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. So it's just a few points there on how to love the Lord, that God hopefully it helped with all our heart. Next one, logically, is how to love Him with all our soul. I don't want to hear, and hopefully you don't, is that I have somewhat against thee, right? That you've left your first love. And how do we love the Lord thy God with all our soul? And a soul is the spiritual, rational, and immortal substance of man. It's the only part of us that's going to live forever, right? And so I equate that with, what are we doing for God that has eternal significance, right? I mean, what are we doing in our lives that is going to have an effect on God's kingdom or on other people or on ourselves forever? Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. How we love the Lord thy God with all their soul, with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, all their strength. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal, nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. People, that's the key there, is laying up your treasures in heaven, taking what we have of ourselves and doing something, you know, eternal for God. The Bible says, also, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, right? It says, set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. Do you love God with all your soul? Are you doing things in your life, eternal things, that, you know, they'll have some significance in a person, other people's lives, forever? Are you just kind of going out to do your own thing, right? Where are you at with this? Where are you at with it? We love God with all our soul. Do we do that? We show Him our love by doing things that have eternal significance. One is witnessing, right? You witness to somebody, and you might not ever see the results. Chances are they're not going to come through the back doors and enter church. They might not. They most likely won't, right? But that person, all of a sudden, has had maybe in their first time a clear presentation of the gospel, whether it's a verbal one or a gospel tract, whatever it is, that has eternal significance. What they do with it is up to them, but they've had that opportunity. And not only that, but God, you know, blesses you by doing it and all that sort of thing, but witnessing for Lord Jesus Christ. And that's, you know, something that we all need to do better if we're honest with ourselves. I haven't been at visitation for a long time. I've been, had different things going on. I've been overseas, so that's a good excuse and other stuff. But, you know, Saturday morning visitation, it was going really good this summer. And we went through from Highway 610 all the way up to Anoka-Ramsey College. We're coming back. We're just going to keep going and see if we can get all of Coon Rapids done next couple of years. Knocking on people's door, inviting the church. You say, I just cannot talk to people. I can't. Okay, can you stand there and pray? Can you stand there and just pray with someone who does do the talking? And that would do you a world of good. For one thing, It also makes a one-person team, a two-person team, which is how we're supposed to go out in pairs, right, ideally? And not only that, but it's good for every person in this room to see that not everybody just loves Jesus, because they don't. I don't care how you can put it across, I don't know how eloquently you put the gospel across, and how you say it, I guarantee it, 80, 90% of those people do not love Jesus, and they don't want you talking about Him anymore. You don't believe me? Show up next Saturday. Okay? That's what it is. But why? Because they need to hear that. They need to hear. We need to be reminded all the time that, you know, we need to get the Word of God out. It does something for us to witness for Jesus Christ. The other thing we can do that has eternal significance is strengthen the brethren. Turn over to Luke chapter 22, verse 32. It was Brother Grissom mentioned about, I'm kind of paraphrasing, this is what struck me the lot of teaching this morning, but, you know, just to help one another and pray for one another and strengthen one another. And why we need that. We need that. Luke 22, 32. But if, this is the Lord talking to Peter, says, But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So Peter is later converted and is born again. And it's like, okay, when that happens, you need to strengthen your brethren. When you get saved, you need to strengthen the brethren. And we could all do better at that as well, to be a blessing to each other. Strengthen the brethren that they might better serve their Savior. That would be a good little mission statement. And those used to be real popular years ago in the corporate world, or mission statement. But strengthen the brethren that you might serve their Savior better. How can you do that? This is why I don't really have any talents or skills. How about can you write some letters to missionaries? Can you look at some birth dates back there and send them some cards and be a blessing to them? Can you just shoot them an email and say, hey, we're praying for you about that new church building over in Ukraine or whatever it might be? We can all do better at that. And there's a lot of people going through tough times. Can you just be a listening ear to somebody and be a help to them? What are you doing to prepare for God's service? Because, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do right now. Maybe some of you have never even asked that question. Maybe some people don't really care. But if you have asked that question, Lord, what do you want me to do? Are you doing anything with the light He's shown you? Are you doing anything with that? See, He's showing you a little bit of light. Are you making some preparations down that path a little bit? You say, I think maybe He's called me to be a missionary. I'm not sure. Well, what would be one logical step? Obviously, learning the Bible here and different things that are scripturally related. What about maybe getting your finances in order? Maybe learning to live in a smaller budget like you will need to overseas. You know, what have you done to prepare for what He's called you to do? What have you done? What is the will of God? Are you obeying what light He's shown you so far? Are you faithful in the little things? The decisions you're making. See here. All right, so he talks about some things of the soul. And love the Lord with all their heart and all their soul. Next thing is, with all the mind, the thoughts, motives, what goes on in the mind, the desires, obviously the things we think of and run through. Are you using all of your mind or trying to love God? What kind of things go through your brain? You know, they say that you can think like dozens of times faster than you can speak. Sometimes. Sometimes you can't. But what kind of thoughts go through your mind? Let's turn over to Philippians 4:8. Are we loving the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, with all our mind? Because there's a constant pull on each and every one of us away from that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any, and if there be any praise, think on these things. There's just a list of a few things to think on, right? Truthful things. You think of that? You think of honest things or deceitful things? You think of just things? Just kind of ties in with righteousness, right? You think of righteous things? You lay in bed or driving down the road and things go through your mind that how you can kind of do a little better in some area? You think about pure things or wicked things? What goes through your mind? You know, your mind, my mind is corrupt without anything coming in by itself. You have enough stored in that old hard drive up there to last you a lifetime. You don't need anything else. But there's other things out there. And all the garbage that comes in through every form of media you can imagine, it's just pumping in. You think on that? You try to put out of your mind? You thinking of pure things? Or think of impure things? What are you thinking on? You can't be thinking of impure things and say, I love you with all my mind, God. You can't be doing that. Whatsoever things are lovely. What's lovely? That's good. Beautiful. You look at God's creation and just say, wow, that's really something, God. That sunset. You didn't have to do that. You just made it go from dark blue to black and no sunset. I mean, it could be ugly. Trees could be all blue and everything could be like northern Iowa and the whole world. I mean, I'll let Brother Schaefer get this one. But, you know, he didn't. That's a beautiful creation. They just found some animal. I don't know if I mentioned last time I was preaching. I can't remember. Some fish down, I don't know, 20,000 feet down, some trench. 6,000 years of human history. They finally got a submarine to go down deep enough to see this fish that has been there for 6,000 years. It has 10,000 pounds per square inch of water pressure on this little fish. And why? Because God's great. He says, He made the fish. He made the stars also. And I rested. That's God. It's the same God that died on the cross for you and I. Have you ever look at that and just ponder some things like that? And say, oh, that's kind of weird. Not really. It's not. It'd be a whole lot better than thinking of what's on ESPN. Worrying about how the Vikings are doing. Are they going to make the playoffs? Oh, the Twins missed it. They missed their opportunity. They haven't been in since, 91? A whole lot better than that. A whole lot better than some outright wicked things, is it not? Thinking some lovely things, God's creation. Well, things that God's doing in your life. Whatever thing, be of good report. What's a good report? How about this Bible? Is this not a good report? Do we not have all the prophecies and all the promises of God written in here? Do we think on this? Do we meditate on this? Do we take just a couple of verses and just kind of mull them over in our mind through the day? Maybe put them on a little post-it or whatever? Just a few words of Scripture? Anything. Do we have something we can cling through to the day? Can we think on those things? What about virtue? Do you appreciate virtue? Virtue is purity again. Do you appreciate that? Or when somebody has a conviction or a standard that's a little higher than yours, a little more virtuous, and you look and is it kind of great against you and say, why does she do that? That's kind of over the top. Is that how it affects you? Or you look at it and say, wow, that's a blessing. That's good that he has that conviction. Or is it great on you? Oh, they don't have a TV? That's weird. That's weird. Or does it say, well, amen. I bet they have a lot less issues than I have with my cable channels. How does it affect you, people? Do you take things like that and you see virtue in somebody else? And is it great against you? Or you say, hey, that's a blessing. That's good. That's good. Maybe I need to implement some of that in my life. What about praise? Do we think of praise at all? Of praising God for what He's done? About the little handfuls of purpose that He's dropped by our lives? By the goodness of His promises? Do we think on those things? There's a few things there that I can kind of run those through our mind and hopefully help us to love God with all our mind. The last thing, of course, is do you love God? Do you love God with all your strength? What we're trying to get at this morning here is for that He doesn't say to us, nevertheless, I have someone against thee. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. You know, we need to look back in our lives and say, you know, I used to have convictions about that. I used to do that more. I used to do that a whole lot less. The Bible says you need to repent. Don't keep going down that path. The devil is so subtle. A little bit at a time is all he needs. He's got all the time in the world. He's an eternal being. He's going to be wrapped in chains of darkness eventually. But for now, he's got way more time than you do. He's patient. And he'll just keep hacking away at you. Just a little bit at a time. I got him on that. I'll just keep chipping away. Peter downstairs a long time used to pound in nails. He still likes to do it. And I was at the cabin. Yeah. He had a railroad spike. It was a landscaping spike about the size of my finger. It's about this long. And I think I got it started for him or something. He had this little tiny hammer, like a 9-ounce hammer, and a piece of oak railroad tie. And about that much pressure. And he's out there. Peter, come on and eat. I can't. No. But he pounded it in. It's like, you got to be kidding me. It was hours and hours just tapping. He got it in, you know, about that far sticking out. I think I still left it there for a joke, for remembrance or something. I don't know. But he just kept, remember that, Peter? You don't remember it? Yeah, probably trying to forget it now. But that's the devil, people. He just keeps hacking. It's like, got him. I got him on that one. What's next? What's next? Ah, there's a weak point. Keep chipping away, right? That's what he does to us, people. And we need to put a guard up against it and repent of it. How do we love the Lord that God with all the strength? The strength, obviously, is a property or quality of an animal, person, whatever. To move other bodies, it's the power, strength, and youth that we have ought to be given to God. You know, every one of us here has, obviously, strength. I mean, every one of us this morning, by the grace of God, was able to sit up and take nourishment, right? And we're all able to walk in that door. Nobody today even was wheeled in. We walked in. We got strength. We got sound minds. And are we using that for God? I mean, obviously, we need to work. There's responsibilities we have. And those things get mundane. But there's still responsibilities we need to carry out. But what about the extra stuff? What about the extra time? What about the strength that we have and the energies? Who are we expending them for? Kind of goes back to laying up your treasures in heaven a little bit. Are you using it to please yourself? Are you using it to please God? See, earlier on I was talking about the husband-wife relationship. And even that's hard. It takes work. It takes some effort to have a good marriage. And but, you know, that's physical. We can see the results of that. The good results that please the flesh, you know. But we're talking spiritual here. And all that we do for God doesn't always please the flesh. It's spiritual. And so it's harder. But how do we love the Lord our God with all our strength? Where are we going to spend our time? Will you use it to serve God? You know, we had a juvenile ministry here. And, you know, there was a lot of people involved in that. And, you know, that's been gone for several months. And, unfortunately, the prison ministry also, we found out Thursday, was closed down. You can pray for that. And we were told when we went there, we got called into the guy's office. And long story short, they're changing their programming. And so the only slot open was our slot. And so that was our last time with those prisoners. So pray about that if there's other things that open up. So the prisoners are bummed out about it. There's about 10, 12 of them there. And they were discouraged by it. And the very first thing I got into was, in everything, give thanks. So that was kind of appropriate. And we were able to wind up 1 Thessalonians there with them. So, but, you know, praise God. They got a pastor taught them for a while. Brother Grissom and I taught them for a while. And they got maybe a taste of some other teaching that they hadn't had before. Maybe they'll have a hunger for it when they get out. Hopefully we had some, again, some eternal significance on their lives. But pray for that. But here's another, yet another ministry that used to be there, and it's not. So, are you guys praying about something else to do? Are you praying for the juvenile ministry to open up again? Will you? That was a great ministry, people. There was always people that got saved in there. Seth and Brian and some of the younger people would go in and really have an impact playing basketball with them and stuff, you know, and witnessing them only being a few years older. But let's pray for that. Pray that somehow that opens up again. That was a great ministry. Or what else can we do? God has given us the talents and some abilities, and He's given us strength. Are we going to use it to serve God, or are you going to pick up some new hobby? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know, there's going to be some teens getting up here tonight and doing some specials and preaching. I think only one of them has preached before. Two of them have not. And I was thinking about, you know, those teens have gone on a number of mission trips. Yeah, they go for fun. You know, it's fun and that, but they're interested in spiritual things. They're interested in some spiritual things. And most of them, I would say, have paid for all those mission trips pretty much with their own money. And, you know, sometimes it's way easier to get young people to have a burden to use their strengths for God than it is people my age and younger and older. How many of you guys have never preached before and would be willing to and say, I'll do it. I'm scared to death, but I'll give it a shot. I'm not saying you're called to do that. I'm just saying, would you be willing to do that? Would you? Would you be willing to work a part-time job? Save up a couple $1,000s and go overseas? Would you make a sacrifice like that? Why is it that they do and you don't, for the most part? Why? Why? Do you love the Lord and God with all your strength? Say, well, I don't have much strength anymore. It doesn't matter how much you have left. What are you doing with what you have? Because someday, you're right, you won't have it. You know what? You got all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Four things. There'll come a day, very soon, where all we'll have left is the soul. We'll have the mind of Christ. We won't need that strength anymore. We'll have a new body. And all we'll have left is that soul to live forever. All we have to serve the Lord Jesus Christ is right now. That's it. And there'll come a day where you won't have the chance. Right? So let's turn over to Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 in closing. What are you doing? What are we doing for God to help us to love Him with all our heart and soul and mind and strength? The Lord just put this on my heart, and a few weeks back, and just got thinking about it a little more. Then He's brought this to my attention this morning, though. It says, I just feel it fit in so perfectly with a lot. Verse 2, Revelation 2, 2, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience. Oh, thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience. For thy name's sake has labored and not fainted. And as I said, there's been a lot of things good done over the years. There's a lot of decisions that you people have made in your lives. A lot of good Christian growth. I see a lot of things happening even in the last several months, year. Not monumental things, but I just see little things in people's lives that are very encouraging. Very encouraging. But yet, nevertheless, I have someone against thee because thou hast left thy first love. And I just want to bring that up because no matter where we're at in a Christian life, there's something. There's something for honest with ourselves. And the Lord says, remember. He says, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. That's what revival is all about. It's to remember, to get it right, to repent, and then go on for Him. Go on for Him. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for the attentiveness of the people this morning. And Lord, I do pray that something that could be useful for all of us, and I know You dealt with me on these things, if there's something, Lord, that somebody needs to take care of, it'd be a blessing to have it taken care of this morning and to remember where they fell from and just get back on a horse, Lord, and go forward for You. And Lord, that's what You want. Rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. Pray You deal with Your people this morning, and Lord, may we prepare our hearts in the days ahead for the revival, and help it not just be a few meetings for a few days or anything like that. But Lord, may we go into it with an earnest expectation that You'll speak to our hearts, and also with an earnest obedience that we'll do what You deal with us about, Lord, and not just be hearers of the word only. Lord, I pray You'd help us this morning. Let me get some things sorted out now and get a head start. And we thank You, Lord, for Your love toward us and Your mercy and Your long-suffering. Thank You for Your perfect word and all that You left us. Thank You, Lord, for Your handfuls of purpose that You put here that to encourage us and strengthen us, Lord. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's turn to page 332. Bailey's song here, the very first stanza there was, "My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign." Have we? Do you love him? Are you just singing words? Do you want to love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all the strength? Do you care? He said in Revelation there to the church at Ephesus, he says, "Nevertheless, I have someone against thee." You want to hear that? Or do you want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, enter in the joy of the Lord"? All right, let's continue on with the third. Thanks again for coming this morning, and I look forward to seeing you tonight, hearing from these teens. It'll be a blessing, and I look forward to that. And remember to pray for Pastor, get back safely tomorrow, and we'll close in prayer. Brother Chris, would you pray for us?
Our Heavenly Father, we Lord, have heard a lot today, and Father, I pray that it has touched our hearts. I pray that it has brought us closer to you. Lord, you're a great God. You're worth serving. You're worth loving.